Welcome to the Mothering Wildlife Podcast. I'm Elizabeth, a zoo professional working full-time and also a mom to two little boys. I know firsthand how challenging the zoo field can be, physically, mentally, and emotionally. I also know how much work it is to raise tiny humans. I want to share the stories of those moms who are out there caring for wildlife and caring for kids. My hope is that this podcast can build a community of moms, sharing ideas and supporting each other because we're all in this together. We're all just mothering wildlife. Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Mothering Wildlife Podcast. My name is Elizabeth and I'm your host. I have had such a huge parenting win with potty training Arlo that I am just like shocked. I really, really, truly expected a battle because he is well over the age of three. I mean, he is 3.5, and I was like, for sure, potty training this kid is going to be challenging. He already has a type personality where he's pretty independent. He's pretty opinionated. He pretty much wants to do things the way he wants to do them and when he wants to do them. And I was like, this does not seem like it will match up well with learning how to go to the bathroom and the toilet. So I think a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I talked about how we had spent the weekend potty training and we were doing well so far, fingers crossed. And at the time, I was a little hesitant to speak that out into the universe, but I'm definitely going to speak it out into the universe now because it could not have gone any better. And I don't know whether I just lucked into the perfect timing with him or whether he just was at a point in school where he was seeing all his little friends use the bathroom that once I kind of introduced the idea, he just really latched onto it. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, he has been accident-free at school since we potty trained him. Like, this is now 2 full weeks. I think we're in our third week now. And I'm just shocked. His teacher is too. She's like, I'm just shocked like how much he has taken to this. She's like, he tells me when he needs to go. He goes in there and goes to the bathroom. He comes back out. And I'm just like, yeah, he's the same way at the house. Like, we have had one accident here at the house. But I am just like, I don't even know what to say. And to be honest, y'all, I feel like we really needed this win with Arlo. Because I love him so much and I love him dearly. And the experience that we have has been with Arlo so completely different than what we had with our first child. But it's been hard. And he just has been a baby and a toddler that threw us for some loops. And to have this parenting win with potty training and it for it to have gone so smoothly and for it to have gone seemingly really quickly and easily, I'm just like, thank you for giving me a win because it was definitely needed. And honestly, I'm just really happy to have this whole entire process behind us because I was dreading having to go through this process, which is why I hadn't done it yet. I was really just procrastinating and putting off the inevitable. Anyway, I just wanted to share my successes and I feel like I want to shout them from the rooftop. You know, other moms understand the excitement over having a little human who can now go to the bathroom themselves. Thank goodness. No more diapers. So anyway, the woman that I talked to this week is a zookeeper at the Fort Worth Zoo. She actually is an outreach education specialist and her name is Christine Duplessis. We had a really great conversation. We talked about so many things. We talked a little bit about going on maternity leave and that sudden change that kind of occurs from having a really physical, like outdoors job and got your routine at work and then all of a sudden, bam, totally different. Newborn in your life, different routine, different schedule. That can kind of feel really isolating. And Christine and I talk a little bit about that, especially if you don't feel like you have a little bit of a village around, which is often sometimes really hard to come by nowadays. It's just not something that culturally we really have here in America. Not everyone has it. We also talk about how some people tend to forget about the mom after birth. You know, we spend so much of our time preparing for baby and going to classes and learning all about the things we think we need to know. And then we give birth and all of a sudden the focus is entirely on the baby. And, you know, parents, especially moms, also need support and care afterwards. And we just kind of let that fall off the radar. We talked some about pumping at work, which I haven't talked in a while with a mom about. So it was really nice to really talk about that with Christine and to talk about finding that balance between the bigger picture of, I want to do this, I need to provide this for my child. And then in that moment, really feeling like, but I really need to finish this task. Maybe I can push off my pumping session. And then regretting that, because ultimately, you usually do regret that. And then finally, we talk a little bit about that self-inflicted guilt, primarily surrounding taking your children to daycare. Christine and I both laugh and kind of talk about the fact that on our weekends, which mine used to follow on Monday, we would take our kids to daycare knowing that we weren't working, but knowing that we really so badly needed that whole entire day to ourselves, that time. And then also feeling really guilty because maybe we should just be taking care of our child. And maybe the parents at daycare are judging us. Maybe the workers at the daycare are judging us because they know we don't have to work and yet we're dropping off our kid. It's crazy sometimes how our mind can snowball, but Christine and I kind of get a good laugh and talk about that. It was a really nice conversation. I was really happy to talk to her and to get to give her an opportunity to share her story. So I appreciate her taking the time. Without further ado then, please enjoy my conversation with Christine Duplessis of the Fort Worth Zoo. Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm excited to share your story, and I just really appreciate you taking the time to be here. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Let's dive right on in and start with a little about your professional career, what you've been doing. You're in the zoo field. Tell me a little bit about your roles that you've held and then also what your current job is and where you're at.
Sure. Yeah. So I actually graduated from the zoo science program at Friends University and was able to work part-time as a mammal keeper there. And I left there for the Fort Worth area and followed a boy. and as we do.
Yeah, as we tend to do.
Luckily, in the DFW area, there's multiple zoos to try and go for, and I got in at the Fort Worth Zoo and started in nutrition, which was actually a really interesting place to start. I'd volunteered in the commissary before, and it's kind of fun to know what every animal in the zoo eats.
Yeah.
And then was able to move over into outreach, and I've been there for the last, I think, like 13 years now. So I'm currently a education outreach specialist. So I take care of all the animals that we take to the preschool classes, birthday parties, overnights, camps, so many camps. And we get to do just the animal portion. And then so we're not in the classroom all day long with the kids. We just do the animal part.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so you've been doing the education stuff or for the past 13 years. So you just did nutrition at Fort Worth just for a couple of years then, you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been at Fort Worth Zoo for 15 years.
Nice. Yeah. Nutrition would be really interesting, I think, to break into initially, because it is, like you said, learning what everyone eats. And it's like it's very like comprehensive, especially at a larger facility like Fort Worth. I mean, gosh, there must have been like so many diets and things.
There are a lot of nutrition keepers, and a lot of them actually do transition into keeper roles too. And I'm sure nutrition keepers are probably annoyed with me because I get diets and I know that hey, that's not the right one. and I always have to call and ask for a different diet item. And they probably are annoyed that I know all the stuff.
Did you guys as nutrition keepers, I don't know how Fort Worth does it. Did you all deliver diets to the different areas or would the animal care staff come and pick it up in the morning?
No, you would have at least when I did it, it was two people on a food run route and we would drive and deliver every diet off to all the areas. Yeah. So it was a good, like, I think total 2.5 hour job, just packing up the trucks, delivering, and then getting back and then washing all the dishes that you picked up on your delivery. And it was a very long routine.
That is a long routine. So cool. So what you're doing now then with the camps and the kids, and you've got the animals, there must be a really great kind of like, or maybe there's not, but it seems like there would be a seasonality to that because, you know, camps are obviously very intensive in the summer and then around the breaks from school, spring break and stuff like that. So I can imagine that it just kind of goes to this nice kind of like, you know, seasonality of what you're doing, maybe.
Yeah, it does. It's like we have preschool, you know, I think September through May. Mm-hmm. And then we have camps in between that. So summer's camp, spring break, we have winter camp, we have Thanksgiving camp. Yeah. So we have all those camps. So we have never really a slow period in our department, except for maybe like 2 weeks before camp starts and 2 weeks after camp ends, you know, in the summer.
Yeah.
Is our two weeks of calm. but other than that, we're just always busy.
Yeah.
But it is nice to go have that change to you have your slightly older kids with your camps, and then you deal with your 3 and 4 year olds during the school year with the preschool classes. So it's a nice change throughout that routine.
Yeah, we really do have to kind of change the whole way you approach them, I'm sure. Talking to a 3-year-old, I mean, we know as moms, is very different than talking to like a 9-year-old.
It is. And very occasionally you get adults that come in and you get so excited. You're, oh, I get to talk to grownups. And I even tell them that. I'm like, I never talk to 3-year-olds, you know. And and then, excuse me, let me change my brain to say grownup things.
Yeah, exactly. What sorts of species do you guys work with? What sorts of animals?
So we have a little bit of everything. We have birds, mammals, reptiles, amphibians, invertebrates, fish, axolotls.
Oh, cool.
So we have, you know, owls and parrots. We have snakes and lizards, chinchillas, armadillos, and my personal favorite, opossums.
Oh, I love opossums.
Who doesn't like opossums?
Everyone I think I meet, or when you say opossum, they're like, oh, I just love them because they're funny.
I know,
they're sassy and they're weird. So that's really cool. I like that. We don't have a very big collection of animals at Naples Zoo that we use for educational purposes. Definitely nothing like you've described there at Fort Worth. We've just got, you know, a couple little, like we've got 10 rex, I think we have some snakes that they use, and there's a pancake tortoise, you know, just kind of like little tiny random things. But I think it's really great that you guys have that big variety. That's really cool. So
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's talk then a little bit about your kids, because obviously we're going to roll into talking about being a mom who is working at the Zoo with Kids. So tell me a little bit about them.
I have 2 boys. I have Jeremiah, who is about to be 9 this summer, and a 4-year-old Jacob. And they are both crazy and rambunctious and, you know, basically grew up at the zoo.
Yeah.
And know probably more about animals than most kids.
Yeah. No, I feel that way about mine too. And I'm like, it's almost a badge of pride. I'm like, you will know about animals. And if you don't know about animals, then I'm failing as a zookeeper mom.
I know.
So cool. So you had them then while you were working, doing education, and pregnant with them then. So since the oldest one is about 9, tell me a little bit about that period, about being pregnant and trying to do your job. And what were some of the challenges or anything that you encountered while you're doing that?
Yeah. So at that time, it was interesting. We had 3 of us in my department that were all expecting kids in different ways. So I was pregnant with mine, and then another coworker got pregnant shortly after that. And then another coworker was actually adopting. And so we all 3 were going to be having our kids at the same period, like a month apart from each other. And I was pregnant. I delivered in the summer, so he's a July baby. Definitely hard to be in your third trimester in the 100 degree Texas weather.
Yes.
The job itself was not too bad as education, other than that, like, the aquariums were really difficult to service because we have these huge, giant aquarium tanks with fish, and we have to access them from above. And so there's a certain point where your belly just doesn't allow you to bend down into that tank anymore. And I just had to just not do that anymore. other than that, I kept doing my normal thing, but I feel like everyone else was always worried for me. They're like, are you sure you should be stepping on that step ladder? You know, are you sure you should be doing that? And I'm like, it's fine. I feel like having coworkers who didn't have kids were more worried about me hurting myself than I was, which was kind of funny. And also just nice that they were looking out for me. But, and it's amazing how often you drop your keys when you're pregnant.
I know, right? Or anything. You're like, really?
Everything. And you just stare at them and you're like,
well,
I have to squat down again.
How badly do I need that?
I know. You just stare at it for a while and you just hope they magically come back to your hands.
Yeah, that's funny. Did you always want to be a mom?
I did. I can't remember a time that I didn't want to be a mom. It was kind of like that feeling of I just always knew I was going to be a mom.
Yeah.
Or I would be really sad if I wasn't a mom.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to have kids. You know, I got married later, so I wanted to start having kids by the time I was 30 because it's already a hard job as it is when you're 30 and then trying to be pregnant and at the same time. Luckily, I had really easy pregnancies. Didn't have to rush to find trash cans. I never had morning sickness. I don't know how that happened. The ligament pain, man, that was the worst though. That darn ligament and the sciatica where you just would make you stop moving and just, that was probably
especially in a job
just
where you sometimes don't have an option. You have to be physical, you know, and then to have to deal with that pain. I had that with my second. Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah. With my second, my feet swelled all the time.
Oh, man.
And just at the end of the day, you're just like trying to get your feet to, you're lifting your feet up and hoping ice packs packing up your feet.
I remember taking my socks off and you could like very clearly see the line where like my feet and legs had been swelling and my socks were like cutting off a little bit of that. I'd be like, oh my gosh, like this can't be good. Did working in the education department prior to having kids really kind of just like fuel that fire to want to be a mom? Or I feel like I talk to so many zookeepers who are like, oh my gosh, I see all the kids at the zoo and it turns me off. But it's like, you know, when kids are your job.
It's like, I knew I wanted to have kids, but still everybody else's kids were very annoying sometimes. You know, you always remember the kid that is either talks out of turn all the time, or you remember the kids that are really like have great answers. There's always, you know, the names, you know, you don't want to name your own kids.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My mom was a preschool teacher and she would always be like, we can't name your kid this, this, or this, because those, I had kids like that and they were very challenging. That's funny. So yeah, we've got two boys. They're kind of growing older now. You said 4 and almost 9, right?
Yeah.
I just read this thing that was like, parents will not get back to their pre-kid sleep until their kids are about 6. So you're almost there. I'm almost there too.
I'm almost there.
Oh, you're almost there. Almost there. It's kind of nice when they start to get older and of this age where you're like, okay, their little personalities are coming out and like they can start to do things and they're learning. I feel like that's the nice part.
It's nice, but also bittersweet, you know, because you're losing that baby stage, the snuggling. But I'm happy to get sleep better. My second, my youngest, is very much wants to snuggle constantly and has to have like contact sleeping. And so he'll wake up even still 3 o'clock in the morning, come crawl into bed, and wants to snuggle me, you know, and it's like, I love you, but I need to sleep and you kick me while you're here.
Yeah, because it's not like
I'm ready for him to just stay in his bed.
Yeah, because it's not like they come into bed and they lay there in like a perfectly nice straight log. They're like, you know, sideways, or like you said, they're digging your feet or kicking you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. How do you function in the season of sleepless nights like this? How do you find yourself performing?
A lot of caffeine.
Yeah.
It was okay. I actually have narcolepsy, so I already have a hard time sleeping, which I know is confusing because people think that we sleep all the time, but it's because we don't sleep. I had practice with sleepless nights already.
Yeah.
And so I'm just always tired. I don't know. I don't know what not being tired is like.
Yeah. 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 And then, you know, having kids on top of anything is just exhausting, period, regardless.
It is.
Yeah. 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 What do you think? Let's see, as you had your children and then hopefully you were able to take off a little bit of like time after giving birth and leave, were you able to get a little bit of a maternity leave?
I did. Yeah. You know, luckily, Port Wazoo, we get, you know, to get to take the 12 weeks and we can take, we can use our time off for that. We also get some, what they call short-term disability. Mm-hmm. So we get partial pay for that. So we do get a maternity leave. I took the full 12 weeks. And it was nice, but it was also like by the end of that, I was really itching to go back to work, which was a little unexpected because growing up thinking, I want to be a mom. I can't wait to be a mom. And you would think maternity leave, like, oh, it's like being a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
But then I was actually just so tired of being stuck inside of a house with the kid. Like I would go out any chance I could get and just thinking about work and wanting to go back to work. And that was a little unexpected. I thought I would like enjoy my 3 months with my kid.
Yeah.
But then I was actually really excited to go to work, which made me feel guilty.
Right. I felt the same. It is such a, it's all of a sudden such a big difference. You're outside, you're doing your job, you're moving, you know, you have this nice little rhythm going and then bam, one day you have a kid and that changes. You're inside, you're taking care of a baby. You're maybe sitting on the couch a lot. Like it just changes. So like, I'm not surprised that like, especially zookeepers who are so used to being outside in that nice sunny weather and doing their job, sometimes struggle with the vast like difference that maternity leave brings of it's a completely different job. I mean, similar. We're still caretaking, but you're inside. Like, Right. Yeah. And I struggled too. Like by the time my maternity leave was coming to an end, I was like, I'm so ready to go back to work because I missed my job. I've missed also, I think, just being around other adults and feeling like I was an adult. Like I just missed being at work and like, just like working. It's something because, okay, so, you know, being a mom obviously is work too. Not that we're not working on maternity leave, but I miss like my professional career of like working that job and that activity. So that totally makes sense. I get that. Yeah.
It's like, not that the zoo is my identity, but I don't want being a mom being my only identity either. And I think sometimes maternity leave can be a little isolating. If you don't have like that, you know, the village that everybody talks about, you know, that's harder to come by now, you know, especially if you're in a place where you don't have family close by. And so it's just you and a baby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you want to talk to grownups. You miss talking to your coworkers about not baby stuff, you know?
Right.
So it is definitely, it was like looking forward to going back to work and spending time with the animals again. And I did cry when I dropped my baby off at daycare the first week, but it was also, you know, you're excited to go home and hug your baby, but then like still be able to get to do stuff that makes you feel more like you.
Yes, yes, because I feel like you obviously have a giant identity shift when you become a mom. No one can really prepare you for that and how you're going to feel. But it, you sometimes, like you said, it is isolating. You don't feel like you, you know, you are you, you're doing this job, but it's not the same you that was 3 months ago. Like, yeah, you do. You just kind of like want to feel like you again, like normal you, and getting your job done and doing things that you love. And it's a lot. I think those feelings are a lot to wrangle with when you're postpartum, when you're freshly postpartum. Do you guys have family in the area?
Sort of. My mom lives about 4 hours away, so close enough to come up for a visit.
Yeah.
And like she came up right after I had my babies, and helped with that right after time. But, you know, that was like limited. But other family is a lot farther away. So it was mostly just, you know, a little bit of time with family. Like they would come visit for a week or so. And then, you know, husband goes back to work too. And it's just you and baby.
Yeah. 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 That is tough. Like you said, it's hard to build that village nowadays. It's just not, our society doesn't have it all naturally built in all the time. I mean, I think about like other cultures who have like multi-generations under one roof, or like really all within like the same little town or city. And not everyone has that nowadays, which makes it really, really hard for some moms during their postpartum period. I always wanted to be a postpartum doula because I felt exactly all of these feelings after my first. And I was like, I can't be the only mom that feels this. Like there needs to be, there needs to be someone who can come in and help this mom out when she's, you know, in a situation where she just doesn't have access to other help. And that's when I was like, I'm going to be a postpartum doula because I'm going to go in and help other moms.
That sounds so nice. I mean, think about like you have like your birthing classes that you might go to before you have your baby, but then like you don't meet after you have your baby.
Right.
And it's why don't we do that? Why don't
exactly.
we meet after we have our babies and have monthly meetings so that we can check on each other and make sure we're all okay?
Yes. Why don't we do that? It's like all of a sudden after you give birth, everyone forgets about the mom and the dad, the parents, let's be honest.
Yes.
The
yes.
focus is just on the baby. Everyone's so excited. Yeah. And like, I totally get it. Like they're cute and they're new and it's this brand new time, but like, hi, hello. What about me as a mom? Like I just went through this very life-changing, sometimes traumatic experience. And don't forget about us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think honestly, some of my saving graces when I was freshly postpartum with my first was I went religiously to every single month. I went to a La Leche League meeting, which is just breastfeeding support. Mm-hmm. But like after I felt like, you know, they had helped me troubleshoot some breastfeeding issues, I just went purely for like the socialness of like being around like-minded women who also had children who like were very pro mom. And I was like, this is what moms need. They do. They need some people around to like focus on them too, I sometimes think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally think so. So, wow. Okay. We got off on a tangent. But that's the best thing about this. So, let's see, maternity leave with both children was kind of equally the same, or do you feel like that leave after the birth of your second child was a little bit different, just in terms of like, you kind of already know what to expect, or maybe you knew what you were getting into?
It's like the basics are the same, you know, like, okay, I know how to set up my couch situation. So I have my snacks and my phone and my charger and this. But now you have a toddler.
Oh, yeah.
That throws a wrench into everything and wants attention too. And you're like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take care of this infant that needs me, but also my toddler needs me still. And trying to balance that, that's actually probably the hardest thing. Because even though he had just turned 4, there's still a lot of feelings. And honestly, that's when the feelings came out, you know. And when he even at one point, he even said, hey, mom, you remember that time that Jacob wasn't around? I miss those times, you know. And you're like, oh, gosh.
I know.
feels so bad. And I get it, though. You know, you used to be the only one with attention, mm-hmm. and now there's someone else that you have to wait and share time with mom and dad. So it definitely was a struggle. And, you know, I think we kind of tried to split, like, one parent takes one and the other parent takes the other one. And that helps a little bit, but only a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. When you've got another little one at home, it definitely is a whole new sort of like problem solving. Like, what, you know, if I'm sitting feeding the baby and the toddler is off getting into something or running around or wanting to play, like, how do you manage that? These things you just don't think about. Like, it's just, yeah, it's a whole new world. It's not easy. So coming back from your leave then, was being a working mom now, a working parent, was it anything like you thought, or was it just like a whole new ball game you weren't prepared for?
It wasn't too bad. I did pump and breastfeed. Pumping was definitely like trying to find time to pump at work. And not that the opportunity wasn't available. It's just like you still feel guilty that you're having to take time and everyone else is still working. But like you also have to pump because you're uncomfortable and you want to keep doing that. And everyone was very supportive of that and actually very comfortable of me sharing an office with other people and pumping at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Luckily, everybody was very comfortable with this. And even with my second, I tried to get like a pump that you could walk around and wear. Although still there's sloshing issues, you know, that you can't actually be, it would work maybe in a corporate job, but not for what we do when we are too active and doing
that.
You
don't want to spill some of that either. That's
no. And I did. Yes. And you would look down and you're like, dang it. And so I still had to sit and, even though I wore one that was like one you can walk around and wear, and I still had to sit.
Yeah.
And that guilt of feeling like you're not doing your part, even though nobody else is, I think, feeling that way. Mm-hmm. It's like that
it's self-inflicted
stress you're putting on yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I guess, hard in that aspect because you feel guilty.
Yeah.
But also like, I want to provide milk for my baby.
Right. It's like, you're trying to look at the bigger picture. What's most important right now, obviously me providing food for my child.
Yeah.
But in this exact moment at work, I'm feeling very much like I should clean the barn instead of pump. Yeah.
I know. And it's like, you try to put it off a little longer. Oh, wait, when I finish this routine, then I'll go pump, you know, and then you're starting to feel really uncomfortable because you really can't push that off.
No.
And the days you forget a part of your pump is the worst day ever. I have definitely had to run to Target at lunchtime and get an emergency, like the Haka, I think, you know, I had to go and run and grab something just to like take the edge off because that was the worst.
There's a lot of moving parts with pumping at work, like no pun intended. Like they're really I mean, you're trying to find the space, you're trying to find the time, you're trying to juggle all of the parts, and then the milk obviously that you have pumped to save to bring home to use the next day. Like it's almost like a job in itself, trying to like mental gymnastics that while you're also managing your job.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was definitely very stressful, but like rewarding at the same time, I guess, you know, to be able to pump because not everybody can.
Yeah.
And definitely had days where I forgot my milk at work and cried a whole lot because you like wasted all that time and milk and precious gold. It's just like that was the one thing, I guess, the self-inflicted guilt that you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And not just with pumping, but just like dropping your kid off at daycare or even I'm off on Mondays and I would still take my kid to daycare on Mondays. because I was just like, I need that time to myself. And I felt so guilty for not spending Monday with him.
Yeah.
And my curator, she was like, don't feel guilty. I do the same thing, because to be a better mom, I know I need a little bit of time to just be alone, be by myself. Yeah. And so it was nice to have someone else tell me that, that my guilt wasn't necessary, you yeah. know? Yeah. And I did find that. I still do. Like, I like my Mondays. I do my errands. I spend time to myself. I don't feel guilty anymore.
Good.
About still sending, you know, my youngest to daycare. Because it's like having to find that time to be you. And I'm a more introverted person. So I need to have just a little bit of time to decompress and just spend time alone. The Mondays where there's no school, though, yes. that's a rough week for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Because I did not get alone time that day.
Man, you're speaking my language. We're like cut from the same cloth, because I used to have Mondays off as well. And I'm like, this is the one good thing about a Zoo schedule is I have a weird weekend. And part of it is a weekday. Yes. And my kids are out of the house. And so, wow, I just get this whole entire day to myself, which is amazing. But I too would feel guilty about taking them to daycare and then, you know, no, I would say to myself, well, you're home. You technically could keep them at home with you today. You should be watching them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're your responsibility. It's your kid. But I would take them to daycare because I needed that day. I needed that day every single week to almost like reset and do what I needed to do. My guilt would go so far as to, I would drop them off at daycare. And in my head, I would be like, they're going to see me, the daycare workers, they're going to see me now coming and dropping him off. I'm not in my Zoo uniform. They see me in my Zoo uniform every other day of the week, but today I'm not. Are they judging me because they know I don't have to work today and I'm dropping my kid off? Are they saying to themselves, why doesn't she just take care of him herself at the house? Like, that's how bad the guilt was.
I had the same thing. I have the same thing that the parents are judging me. Like, are the other moms like, she's not wearing her uniform today. She doesn't have to work. Why right. is she taking him to school? And I'm like,
exactly. But then I'm like, no, wait a minute. I know there are stay-at-home moms who take their kids, you know, a few days a week and drop them off at like a daycare from like 9 to 2 or 9 to 3. Okay. Right. I need to quit feeling bad because they're doing it too, because they also need a break. So, okay. But it just spirals.
It does.
It is nice, though, to have that time, because especially as like I have a 3.5-year-old and it's impossible to get anything done around the house with him there. So uh-huh. I almost, and because we don't have family nearby, like daycare is really my only option to be able to like have someone else watch him. And so I can have that time to just get anything done on a Monday, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And grocery shopping, I just don't want to do it with them. I just want to go by myself. It's so much faster and easier.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because heaven forbid I bring them and they want to use the tiny cart and they want to get all the groceries themselves. And then, you know, we have fighting and I'm just like, oh, we just need to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you feel like you have skills that you use at work now within your professional career, you know, as education specialist that you have taken into your mom life and used with your kids?
Absolutely. I think doing animal training has translated very well into like human training.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to dealing with living things that can't communicate perfectly with you. And then you have those same things at home, especially like when they're the toddlers and you're just trying to figure out, okay, why are you having a fit right now? Let me try and figure out, is it because you need food? Is it because you're tired? Is it because of this? But having that animal training, I think the patience has helped. And also like redirection. Redirection has been great. Yeah. And like knowing that from training, you know, okay, let me redirect and then I'll go try and ask it again. You know, doing that with my kids, you know, I do a lot of redirection, you know, distract them with something shiny.
Yes.
And then, or knowing like giving them choice right? Because some training, we try to do choice training, but it's like you have two choices, but both choices will give you the outcome that I want.
Exactly.
Ideally.
You might not know that, but I have set it up that way.
Exactly. Like, I know that, but yeah. I'm setting myself up for success here. Okay?
Right.
And so definitely that. I did a program one time with, I think, a college group, and the professor asked me, he said, "Do you think being a mom has made you a better animal trainer?" And I said, "No, I think being an animal trainer has made me a better mom." And with us, it was just a very interesting, like, using those tools, because they're animals.
They are. <It's> just,
they just can talk to you at some point.
Exactly. Yeah, I do feel like that is the biggest crossover, that most people are like, oh, heck yeah, being an animal trainer has totally allowed me to, like, read my kids' behavior better, has allowed me to have patience, like any number of things, you know, give them choice. We do that a lot in my household, too. It's like, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And inside, I'm like, I don't care which option you pick, because both of those are going to give me what I want. It's hard, though, because I feel like with the choices and stuff like that, like, I parent my children, I feel like, very different from the way than, like, I was parented. I don't remember my mom giving me lots of choice. It was just kind of like, or, you know, or my dad, like, it's just, this is the only option and this is what we're doing. And I can remember feeling as a kid frustrated. So then, you know, now as a parent, and also knowing what I know from my animal training experience about how crucial and beneficial choice can be, we are offering lots of choice. And I do find that, like, it is a less rocky road, you know?
For sure. You know, I think, like, our generation, it was because I said so, you know?
Yeah.
And it was more like you obeyed out of, not fear necessarily, but because you have to, you know, but you can also get the same outcome with positive reinforcement and choice.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, I know our own parents are probably like, I don't understand why you do it this way, you know, and I'm sure my mom's probably listening in the background hearing that. It's just, yeah, you're trying to use the tools that you have and knowing how you kind of felt and just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Adapt.
Yeah. I mean, you're becoming a partner with your kid, basically, you know, like, let's figure this out together. We both have buy-in here in these decisions, and we both have our opinions about it, especially when they're toddlers and they're opinionated about so many things. So I've kind of viewed it as like, you're my partner. Let's work on this together. Like, we're going to figure out how to incorporate everyone's needs, desires, opinions, need for independence, whatever it is. So, because I think there's also valuable skills along the way that they're also learning and being in an environment like that on their end. So, parenting philosophies 101 from two zoo career people. Do you think that as your kids, as you know, as your almost 9-year-old is getting older, is he involved in, like, activities? Do you think that they're starting to form mainly him, his own little, like, social and personal life?
Oh, for sure. He does like baseball right now. And he also is very into, like, just sitting alone and doing Legos.
Yeah.
So he's very independent and wants to spend time by himself, but then also with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, like, see how he's more introverted, probably like me, because he likes to just, like, he'll sit in his room for hours just playing Legos, as nice. Long as he's uninterrupted by younger brother, you know?
Yeah.
And if younger brother goes in there, he's like, leave me alone. and I'm like, okay, I understand this.
Yeah. My 8-year-old asked for a baby gate for his room for Christmas one year because the little brother kept bothering him. I was like, that's fair. That's fine.
That's fair.
That's funny. Yeah, I feel like that as they start to get into this age where, like, you know, they do have some friends, they have very, like, very pointed interests. Like you said, he can play Legos for hours in his room as long as he's uninterrupted. You start to enter this new, like, parenting phase of, like, now I am going to, it's it's hard to describe because you're almost like managing them in a different way. You know, they have different needs now you're trying to meet. And I think that just blossoms into like trying to keep track in your head then all of these like additional school things that they are trying to accomplish, and you're managing their little lives in a different way. And that to me has been, especially recently, because ours is in second grade, like this year's been just a whole different like ball game in terms of how involved I am, involved in a different way, I guess, like how involved we are with what he needs to have happen. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's like I'm more observing what he's doing, but not having to be like have a direct hand in what he's doing. You know, he's getting that independence, which is nice. But also like sad because you don't feel as needed anymore.
Yeah, right. I know when he still wants to hold my hand, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, you're still with me here. I'll hold your hand, it's fine. You don't always need me to hold your hand, but I totally will if you want to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel like within your career that you've ever had to or ever decided maybe that you wanted to put something on the back burner, like it wasn't the right time to like go after something because of just at the stage of your family life with kids are little, that can be sometimes more challenging?
I think it's more like, you know, when other coworkers are looking at fun jobs, you know, as they do.
Yeah.
The young ones
who can just go off gallivanting anywhere.
Yes. And they're like, oh, look at this position, you know, and you're like, man, in another life, that would be really cool to just up and go and do that, you know, and apply for that. Or, you know, I think like a couple years ago, you could go to Antarctica and for a year or 2 years or something and monitor penguins or something. There was like a post about it and we're all like, man, that would be so cool, but I would not be able to do that because I have commitments as a mom. And but man, it would be so fun to just like get up and go and do conservation things like that, or a new job for funsies, but you're kind of settled and can't quite do that. It's not like, it's just like another life, I guess. Or maybe I can do it as they're older.
Yeah. It's funny. I was talking with a coworker about like those, you make certain decisions in your life. And what if you have made a different decision? It's like, you know, like you said, it's another life. Like if we made the decision to have children and have a family, and this is the trajectory that our life has taken. What if I didn't have children? Like would I have gone off on a completely different avenue? And of course you can't compare and you can't think that way because it happened the way it happened. But like, but yeah, like you do see opportunities like that sometimes. And you're like, oh, you know, in another life, maybe that would have been something I would have gone after, but not right now.
Yeah. No. That's okay. Right
now. And that's okay. Like you said, maybe someday. I do that all the time. I'm like, you know, maybe someday when they're older, I could do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And that's fine. Uh-huh. That's totally fine. Would you ever consider having a different career than what you have now?
It's like, I don't know if it's like in the back of your mind of sometimes of like, what could I do? Mm-hmm. And I feel like being a teacher would be a natural transition from what I do right now. But I also don't know if I want to be a teacher, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, same. That kind of goes back to that, like, I think a lot of people in this field just really identify with what they're doing and they just love it, you know, like this is what I've wanted to do and I'm happy doing it and it fills my cup and why would I do anything else? I'll take all the challenges that come with it. That's fine any day.
Right. I mean, like I said, I've been at the zoo for 15 years and I'm not going to say it's been roses the whole time. You know, you definitely get burnout and you have your periods where you think about leaving. But at that point you're like, what would I do? And then of course something happens, whether it's a kid or an animal, that just really reinforces, no, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm meant to do this. And it's just such a fulfilling job.
Yeah.
I can't imagine actually leaving. And I think even at one point I had talked about possibly leaving, and my husband had been like, you're never going to leave these preschoolers. You know, yeah, you're never going to leave the animals.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're right.
I think you said in the beginning that, you know, your kids have practically like grown up to the zoo. Do they like to come to the zoo a lot?
They do. With my first, I took him a lot on Mondays before I started actually taking those Mondays for myself.
Yeah.
I would bring him to the zoo almost every Monday. And then, you know, now he goes to the camps a lot during the summer. And I'm sure he'll probably follow the zoo employee track of volunteering in the summers and just basically living there. But they beg to go to the zoo, especially when our splash pad is open.
Oh, nice. You just have a splash pad? I didn't realize you had a splash
pad. We do. We do. They love it when it's open.
Of course. My kid doesn't love a splash pad.
I know.
But they are always broken, I feel like. Or closed.
Ours is always open, and I feel like, when it's open.
That's good.
It's pretty steady. Unless if it's a thunderstorm, you know, then we close it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do ask to go to the zoo. So
yeah, do they understand or recognize what you do there? Like, do they think it's really cool?
Yeah, they know. You know, the building I work at, my oldest, who goes to camps more now. You know, all the counselors know him because he's been there so long. And you know, it's like whenever the other counselors are like, oh, it's Jeremiah, you know, and the other kids are like, oh, he's so popular, you know, it's the zookeeper's mom or, you know, zookeeper's kid.
Yeah.
He's been so much too. I'll sometimes just ask him in the morning, I'm like, hey, what animal do you want me to bring today? Because you've already seen them all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of makes it a little special.
That's a cool perk for him.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I find that Silas, my oldest, I think he thinks it's cool that, because my husband used to work at the zoo too, I think he thinks it's cool that, you know, mom and dad were at the zoo, and he'd be like, tell so-and-so the animals, tell so-and-so Athena, that's our panther, tell her I said hi. And, you know, every time he would come, he had his favorites that he wanted to see. And of course, he also grew up there, so like everyone knows his name, and they're always like, oh, hey, Silas. And I'm like, you must feel like a rock star walking around here. Like, no other kid gets that sort of attention. Do you have any other moms that are within your department? I know you said when you were pregnant, there was like three of you. Do they still work there? Do you have other moms around?
I do. So we have like our mom squad.
That's nice.
In my department, where we hang out. We have our zoo babies group that Jessie may have talked about when she did her podcast with you. Where we celebrate all of our birthdays together.
Oh, that's cool.
We do like holidays like Halloween and July 4th, and we all just hang out with the zoo baby crew.
That's awesome.
And so it's all of our outreach babies.
That's really cool.
And even people who were at the zoo and left, sometimes they join the crew, like they're still there if they're still local. So I think there's like maybe four or five of us now that we just all get together.
Yeah.
And we've had multiple kids too. So
that's nice.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that is really nice. That sounds really, really cool. Because the other part about that is that, of course, not only are you all moms together, but you get the work side of it too. You know, you are also zoo moms together. So I'm sure there is ample opportunity for you guys to be able to like talk about what is going on and the other one understands and there's this and there's that. And like, that is amazing.
I have definitely gone to work and vented about something about my kid with another of the moms. And she's like, oh, yes, me too. You know, and we try to like problem solve or just, you know, live in this thing together. And we're like, yeah, solidarity.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's nice. And then the other keepers that don't have kids, they just kind of stare at us like, oh, thank goodness we don't have kids.
Exactly. Right.
I think they always say that we provide birth control for them when we tell our kids stories, because yeah. they're like, this is just solidifies us not wanting kids.
Yep. I've had a couple say that to me too at the zoo. They're like, and that's why I don't have children. And I'm like, okay. There's just something that happens to your brain when you're a mom where I feel like the bad things yeah. will happen and then you forget them. You're like, why? Why wouldn't you want to have you 10 too. Children? Like, you're fine.
You forget and you have another kid and you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, I would love to know what your biggest piece of advice for a zoo mom would be.
I would say, don't feel guilty for taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we have weird schedules that we already work, and finding alone time to decompress from not just motherhood, but your job, because being a zookeeper is hard and you can have hard days. And don't feel guilty for taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
I think yeah. would be the best.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. We do have lots of hard days sometimes as zookeepers, and not everyone might have the time in between the end of their work day and either picking up their children from daycare or going home to meet them to decompress fully or like deal with the emotions of what has happened. And then to have to step right into your role as mom, even when you maybe are feeling like crap or you're very crummy, is a hard switch to make. So give yourself some grace and take your time. Do you have any good ways that you have learned how to do that, if you've ever been in those situations?
You know, sometimes I just sit in the parking lot, you know, take 5 minutes or 10.
Yeah.
Whether it's before I pick up my kid from daycare or before I leave the zoo parking lot. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, now my kids are old enough. I tell them, I'm like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to go sit in my room for a second, and yeah. I can kind of take a minute, you know, and especially my 9-year-old, I've been able to explain to him and be like, hey, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed too, you know, yeah, so that's yeah. why I sit in my room alone, you know,
yeah.
and so just trying to find a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
to be a better mom.
Yes, no, exactly. You do, right? You have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of them. And I think it's great for, and we do the same thing in my household, but I think it's great for them to be able to see mom model how she's going to deal with this. You know, like, I'm going to take a minute. I've had a really hard day. I'm going to sit in my room. Great. Now he's just watched you doing that. So next time, maybe he has a hard time. I'm just going to take a minute. That's what mom does. And take a deep breath, whatever it is, and sit in your room. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like feelings and dealing with feelings and teaching feelings is the biggest challenge. My own and my kids challenge. Included. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Christine, for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. It was really nice to get to talk to you about all things Zoo Mom.
Yeah, it was really fun.
All right. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Christine. Many thanks to her for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate her taking the time to share her story and to tell us all about her children and being a mom who works in the zoo field. So thank you again to Christine. All right. If you listen to this podcast every week or you listen once in a while, that's fine too. And you think to yourself, man, I want to share my story. You can do that. You just have to email me at motheringwildlife@gmail.com. Reach out, say, hey, I want to share my story. I'm always looking for moms. I'm going to be real embarrassed when I say this. I usually will stalk people on Facebook. I find people that way. It's actually not too hard. And I love to reach out to people and to invite them to come onto the podcast. But I know that people also listen to the podcast. And I guarantee you, your story is important. Even if you're like, ah, yeah, it's the most boring story in the world. No one can relate. I guarantee you someone can relate. And just think about the moms that you can touch telling your story. So if you would like to share your story on the podcast, please feel free to email me. Again, you can reach the podcast at motheringwildlife@gmail.com, and we will see if we can find a way to set up a time for us to chat. So thanks so much for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your work week. Wherever you are at in the process, enjoy the next few days, and I will talk to you all next week. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Mothering Wildlife Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Johnson. This podcast is produced by John Rossi. Check out his podcast, Rossafari and Conservation Tales, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you really want to learn all about the amazing people that work in zoos. Theme music by John Rossi and Taylor Isaac Gray. Visit us on Facebook and Instagram at Mothering Wildlife to like and follow us. If you are a mom that works with wildlife and you want to share your story, reach out to me at motheringwildlife@gmail.com.